These are all times of fast food and slow indigestion, big men and small characters, steep profits and shallow relationships. These are the days of two incomes, but divorce, fancier houses, broken homes. These are the days of quick trips, disposable diapers, throwaway mortality, one-night stands, overweight bodies, and pills that do everything from cheer to quiet to kill. It is a time when there is much in the showroom window, but not much in the stockroom.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of How Can I Prosper in Today's World? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of How Can I Prosper in Today's World?
My head with Afro Sheen. Isn't that oil, right? Thou anointest my head with oil. What does that mean? That means that you know, the abundance, the prosperity of God is just oozing out of my life. And I may not have a whole lot. I may not have great riches, but his prosperity just oozes out of me. And so when it talks about the fatness of soul, that's what it's talking about. And so as we look at this last point here, what I want to picture is the platform to prosperity. And so what I'm going to say in these points that I'm getting ready to make, that if you will allow these to become a reality in your life, that you will be prosperous. All right. Somebody say, well, how can I be prosperous? How in the world can I be prosperous? Well, he's getting ready to tell us right here that if we will do these things, that you will experience prosperity. And so even as we go down them, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to ask yourself, are these things true in my life? And if they're not, maybe this is one reason. If you're not prospering, maybe why you're not prospering. Now, again, keep in mind, our definition of prosperity is a lot bigger than just financial wealth. It's a lot bigger than that. And so you got to say, if I'm not a prosperous person, then what is holding up my prosperity? You know, there's a doctrine today. It's in the church, and it's called the prosperity gospel. And it says that, if you're not, if you don't have big money and drive big, have two or three big cars and live in a big home and wear designer clothes, it says that you are not prosperous. That this gospel is that Jesus died on a cross, not only was to save us from our sins, but it was to make us healthy and wealthy. And that, you know, we should be big-time rollers. It said that Jesus was a big-time roller and that we should be big-time rollers. Now, you know, I remember listening to Reverend Jeter. I was talking to him when he was here 1 year, and we got into a conversation about the prosperity gospel. And I remember what Reverend Jeter said. He said, man, take that message to Africa and see how far it goes. You know, take it to Africa and see how far it goes. You know, so I'm not buying into this theory that we name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it. You know, I believe that God wants us to prosper in the true sense of the word, to prosper in every way. And that I don't think that Jesus died on the cross to make us rich. You know, he died on the cross to save us from our sins. But now that I am a child of the king, now that I'm one of the king's kids, that I can have a prosperous life. And again, not necessarily. And I keep emphasizing this because I know some people will misunderstand me, and I keep emphasizing and say it's not just material possessions. That prosperity expands far beyond that. And so the first thing that we see is that if you fear the Lord, that you will have an abundant life. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 4. By humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. That if you fear the Lord, God will take care of you. That if, according to Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, if you honor the Lord with your substance, if you honor him by giving unto him, it says that he will fill your barns and your vats will overflow. I was reading a clip on a guy by the name of, many of you probably know, maybe some of the younger people might not know. His name is Howard Hughes, and he was a very wealthy man. And this summarized his life. All he ever really wanted in life was more. He wanted more money. So he parlayed and inherited wealth into a billion-dollar pile of assets. He wanted more fame. So he broke into the Hollywood scene and soon became a filmmaker and a star. He wanted more sexual pleasures, so he paid handsome sums to indulge his every sexual urge. He wanted more thrills, so he designed, built, and piloted the fastest aircraft in the world. He wanted more power, so he secretly dealt political favors to skillfully manipulate two U.S. presidents. All he ever wanted was more. He was absolutely convinced that more would bring him true satisfaction. Unfortunately, history shows otherwise. He concluded his life emaciated, colorless, sunken chest, fingernails in grotesque inch-long corkscrews, rotting black teeth, tumors, innumerable needles marked from his drug addiction. Howard Hughes died believing the myth of more. He died a billionaire junkie, insane by all reasonable standards. This man had it all. He had everything. But yet when he died, they said his fingernails just grew. He stopped taking care of his hygiene. Fingernails just grew out. Teeth rotted. His whole body was sunk in. And all he had to realize that if you want true prosperity, it's not found in material wealth, it's not found in financial possessions, but true prosperity is found when you fear and honor the Lord. And we need to realize that when we fear and honor God, that we have found and we can find true prosperity. The second thing is that if you want true prosperity, live a righteous life. Live a righteous life. Proverbs 11, in verse 28, we read it, but we can read it again. It says, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish like a branch. The righteous shall flourish like a branch. Proverbs 28 and verse 10. Proverbs 28 and verse 10. It says, whoso causes the righteous to go astray in an evil way shall fall himself into his own pit, but the upright shall have good things in possession. All right, we getting a little, that mic breaking up? All right, hey, can you give me that cordless down there, Cameron? Thank you, brother.
Something in my body chemistry that causes the mic to break up. All right, so we still working on that. All right, so live righteously. In Proverbs 28:10, at the very end, it says that the upright shall have what kind of things? Good things. The upright shall have good things. And then Proverbs 15 and verse 6. Proverbs 15 and verse 6. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. So, you want to be prosperous? Live a righteous life. I'm not saying that we have to be a angel. I'm not saying that we have to be a pure saint, but live a righteous life. Try to do the right thing in life. try to honor God and try to follow the word that he has given us. That's why it's a blessing. You know, and I'm not trying to promote people to come to the house of the Lord, even though I believe that you should be in the house of the Lord, because when you're in the house of the Lord, you are trying to find what is right. Pastor Glaze, tell me what is right to do. That's why you're here. You're here to find out, not only to worship God. You know, we come to worship him, but when we come, we also come to find out what is right. You know, tell me what the Bible says is right. And then once we know what's right and we do what's right, you see right here in the very word of God, it says that you will prosper. You will prosper. The next thing is to pursue wisdom. Pursue wisdom. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 8. Pursue wisdom. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul, and he that keepeth understanding shall find good. And then Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 20. Proverbs 16 and verse 20. He that handles a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Can't get around it, my brothers and sisters. You can't get around it. Do the right thing. Do what the scripture tells you to do. You know, follow after wisdom. Pursue it. And you're going to be healthy. And you're going to be wealthy. And you're going to be wise. Again, not necessarily in the world's terms, but according to the word of God, that you will prosper. And then, some of us might not want to hear this, but be generous. Be generous. Proverbs 11 and verse 25. Proverbs 11, 25. The liberal soul, the generous soul, shall be made fat. There you go. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. The liberal soul shall be made fat. And you know, he that watereth. And you know what the idea here is? Powerful concept. Powerful concept. He that waters. So when you water, what are you doing? You are watering something. You're watering. You're watering something. And when you give water, you're going to what? Receive water. When you give love. When you give love, you're going to receive love. And this is prosperity. That when you give, whatever you give out, the Lord will give it back to you. And you'll be prosperous. Be generous. Not only in financial giving, be generous. You know, we need to be like the guy who was at the golf club. And he was in the locker room, and the phone rang on the bench. And he picked it up and said, hello. And the person on the other end said, hey, honey, how are you? And he said, I'm doing fine. She said, honey, I just want to let you know that I'm not too far from the club. And I went to this store, and I saw this beautiful mink coat. And it's absolutely gorgeous. Can I buy it? It's $1,500. And he said, well, if you like it that much, go ahead. Go ahead and buy it. She said, oh, I also stopped by the Mercedes dealership today and saw the new models, and I saw one I really like. I spoke with the salesman, and we can get it for a great price. And he said, how much? She said, $60,000. He said, sure, go ahead and get it. And she said, well, one more thing, honey. I stopped by this real estate place, and you know that beachfront property that we were looking at that had the English garden, and I just want to let you know that, you know, we got $650,000 in our bank account, and we can get it if we can make a bid for $620,000. I think we can get it. He said, sure, go ahead and put the bid on it. She said, oh, honey, I love you very much. She said, I love you too. And after he hung up the phone, he said, does anybody know whose phone this is? The man was generous. He was generous. And so, you know, maybe we say, you know what, you know, now check this out. Y'all, I know I'm going to get some amens on this, right? It's real easy to be generous with other people's stuff. Right? Right? You can be real generous with somebody else's stuff. Right? But now, you know, when it comes down, you know, it's like the preacher, he went to the farmer, and he said, if you had 10 cows, would you give 5 to the church? And the farmer said, Pastor, you know I'd give 5 to the church. He said, well, if you had 5 cows, would you give 3 to the church? And he said, you know if I had 5 cows, I'd give 3 to the church. He said, well, if you had 2 cows, would you give 1 to the church? He said, sure, if I had 2 cows, I'd give 1 to the church. He said, if you had 1, he said, wait a minute, preacher, now you're going too far now. You not only have 1 cow. So it's very easy to give and be generous when we don't have it. When we don't have it. But if we can, you know, we need to develop a spirit of generosity. You know, now I know some of y'all are not going to agree with this when I say it. I know you're not, but this is what I try to do. Like if I drive up, and it seems like there's a lot more and more people out there now, you know, that, you know, got signs up, homeless vet, you know, passing through, you know, need money. You know, generally, you know, if I'm stopped and they walk by, I try to give them something. Now, I don't know what they're going to do with it. You know, I just, you know what my philosophy is? I say, you know what? The Lord knows, and if you want to take it and you're going to use it for something that's not godly. Now let me say this. Because now there are some folk that are scammers. And you know they're scammers. And you know you don't need to give them anything, right? I mean, there are some folk that you know that they're trying to play you. And so, you know, you got to watch out for them folk, you know. And I think that the Lord reveals those individuals, you know, real quick. But, you know, I think that, you know, just as God's people, and again, I'm not saying, you know, that you roll your window down and give something to somebody with a cardboard sign. That's not, because, you know, if you do it and they end up hijacking your car, then you're going to say, well, Pastor Glaze said that. So I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just saying that's what I do, you know. And I try to, you know, really challenge, you know, myself in the areas of generosity, because I don't want to be a stingy person. Because I realize that when you are stingy, you actually are choking off your own blessings. Yeah, that's not even Bible. That's not even Bible. You know, when you think about nature itself, that when you sow something in the ground, when you put something in the ground, when you give something away, what happens? It comes back to you. And it comes back to you more than what you put in. And so I just encourage God's people, you know, be wise, you know, be wise, but don't be stingy. Don't be stingy, because you're robbing yourself of your own blessings. Somebody said, didn't I hear the preacher say earlier, Pastor, I come to church so that you can tell me what was right. All right. Don't rob yourself of your own blessing. Then, finally, plan your work and then work your plan. If you want to be prosperous, plan your work and then work your plan. Look at Proverbs 21 and verse 5. Proverbs 21, 5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. All right? So people who are diligent, what kind of thoughts they have? What do they have? They have thoughts of prosperity. Now, again, I'm not locking it into financial prosperity, but they have thoughts. How can I be prosperous in my relationships? How can I be prosperous, you know, in the things of life? And then even from a financial standpoint, you know, and not becoming greedy, but just to ask myself, how can I become financially prosperous? You know, you need to think about that. You need to think about how you're going to pay your bills. You need to think about retirement. You need to think about insurance. You need to think about how you're going to feed yourself. So the Bible says here that the thoughts of the diligent person lead only to plenteousness. That you're thinking about how I can prosper in these areas. So what are you doing? You are making a plan. You make a plan. And then after you make the plan, the Bible says, go ahead and then work your plan. Look at Proverbs 13 and verse 4. Make your plan and then work your plan. The soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing. So you can make plans and not do anything, and you're not going to have anything. But the soul of the diligent person is who? That person that goes out and works. That person that goes out and puts his shoulder to the grindstone. That person that goes out and puts the pedal to the metal. It says that the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. So after you make your plans, then you go ahead and work that plan, baby. You go ahead and work that thing and make sure that you are doing what God would have you to do. And as we close, I want to share something that I've shared on many occasions before, and that is I've never made a fortune, and it's probably too late now. But I don't worry about that much now because I'm happy anyhow. As I go along life's way, I'm reaping better than I sowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. I haven't got a lot of riches, and sometimes the going gets tough. But woo, but I've got loving ones around me, and that makes me rich enough. I thank God for his blessings and the mercies he's bestowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. Oh, I remember when things went wrong, my faith wore somewhat thin, but all at once the dark clouds broke and the sun peeked through again. So Lord, help me not to gripe about the tough roads I've had to hoe, because I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. If God gives me the strength and courage when the way grows steep and rough, I'll not ask for other blessings. I'm already blessed enough. And may I never be too busy to help others bear their loads. Then I'll keep drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. If you're sitting here this morning and you had transportation to church, your cup is overflowing. If you got up this morning and had a meal, no matter what it was, you did better than a lot of people in the world this morning who woke up with nothing. Your cup has overflowed. If you got shoes on your feet, you are better than a lot of people who are walking around barefoot. I know they have drives in Africa that send shoes to Africa so that people will have shoes. Your cup is overflowing. As I said earlier, if you got your health and strength, you walked in this building today, you sit there and you were thinking, you were able to read, you were able to meditate on what was said today, your cup has overflowed. And you have been blessed. And you are truly prosperous. So keep drinking from your saucer.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of How Can I Be Right with God? If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, How Can I Prosper in Today's World? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How Can I Prosper in Today's World? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request How Can I Prosper in Today's World? or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.